Can you guys hear me? Is that good? I guess we all, many of us, come into church today with a heavy heart. And I was hoping to just put what's happening in a biblical perspective, put everything in its right place. I want to talk about an issue that is a stepping stone into glory. It's called dying. You know, God has made us in a certain way, and life is precious, our loved ones. And we mourn when our loved ones go to be with the Lord. But we don't mourn as if there's no hope. That's why we preach Christ. Pastor Wayne, my brother in the Lord, he's been faithful with Calvary Chapel Sunrise for many years. He'll be fine. And he's just going to have a change of address. And a promotion. And he'll receive the reward of a faithful servant. He lived his life for the things in eternity. And he tried to bless his body of believers with that same perspective. You know, I was at the hospital this week, and I was looking at that 80-year-old body of Pastor Wayne, the wear and the tear that body is subject to, which all of us eventually are going to be subject to. But I was talking to him because I wanted to look past his body, which is only the shell that God has given us in this life. And I wanted to talk to his soul and spirit, because that's who Pastor Wayne truly is. And I wanted to just be so blessed to, and have the assurance, you know, even having the assurance of eternal life is a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I guess today I just want us to know that Wayne is okay. Pastor Wayne is okay. And I want us to have that assurance. I don't want us just to throw cliches around and say he's in a better place, and I'm okay with that. But I really want us to believe that with all our hearts. And if anything, that I hope I can do some justice to this period we're going through, that we would have that assurance and that conviction that we know that our Lord and Savior paid the price for eternal life. And I really want us to be able to identify with a week of mourning that perhaps we're all going to be facing. But also at the same time, I want there to be an inexpressible rejoicing that our faithful pastor has been rewarded handsomely. And I want us to taste the goodness of God and the promises of God and really know that we have conquered death. I want to start off in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as an introduction. I want to talk about some of the things that Jesus Christ talked about when it came to death. It was interesting. I was, you know, telling Rose, you know, she was asking me for the title and calling it the stepping stone into glory, and put the word death after that. And I just didn't like that. Dying, I didn't like. So I said the stepping stone into glory, because ironically, death is that stepping stone. Something that seems so tragic to us is the blessing and the stone that God provides for us to go into his presence. In 1 Corinthians 15, let me pray and just ask the Lord to bless this time, direct my words. And I just want to just bring honor to Pastor Wayne. And I don't want us to be left in our mourning, but I want us to know that there's a glorious thing happening here. And so, again, I hope we can taste that. Father, again, we thank you for just the promises and the hope that we have in Christ. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would just minister to us, Father, during this time as we mourn the anticipation of our brother moving on, Father, into heaven. And Lord, I ask that you have mercy upon the family, that even the church members here, Father, who have spent so many years with Pastor Wayne and serving at his side, bless them all, Father. In the midst of all this mourning, let there be that inexpressible joy as your Holy Spirit continues to remind them, Father, that we have conquered death. And so, Lord, bless this sermon. Help me, Father, to just really just do honor to Pastor Wayne and lifting him up in this time. And again, Father, for many of us, we can only thank you for allowing us to have Pastor Wayne and our lives be shared together, Father. And so bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved." And saved means delivered from the penalty of sin. "If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which also I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." Again, that's the heart of the gospel message. Christ died on the cross to bridge the gap between a holy God and sinful humanity. And one act of faith, one act of genuine faith in Christ is all that God is asking us. And then he'll raise us up in the newness of life through the power of the Holy Spirit. "And that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. We have all these eyewitnesses that witnessed the resurrection of Christ. We weren't there, but that's where the born-again experience comes in. We can identify with Cephas. We can identify with the early church. And even though we weren't there, we have the testimony of the Holy Spirit in our hearts that's bearing witness to the truth. Again, in this glorious salvation that God has bestowed upon us, it is so personal. And being born again with the Spirit of truth will testify to the truth of eternal life. And that's a wonderful partnership that we have with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and being able to look beyond, you know, the hardships of life and see the glory that all of us will share with Jesus Christ along with Pastor Wayne. And so he goes on, he says, "After that, he was seen by 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained in the present, but some have fallen asleep." That's a nice way of saying they died. And the reason why the term fallen asleep is used of death is because we never die as believers. In the same way, when we go to sleep, it's not as if we die in our sleep. We're still alive. And in the same way, when we die, our soul and spirit, who we really are, goes right into the presence of God. What a blessing. It's a no-lose proposition when we're in Christ. Amen. And so after that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as the one born out of due time. And then Paul talked about how he was saved by the grace of God. But he's going to try to offset those who are saying that there's no resurrection. In verse 12, he says, "Now if Christ is preached that he had been raised from the dead. How do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Again, we should be pitied if this is the only life that we're going to enjoy in preaching Christ. No, we have an eternal life waiting. And again, when we die, this natural, we're just released from this natural body that even when we came out of our mother's womb, it was as good as dead, the body. And so we have the soul and the spirit. Amen? Amen. That who we really are. And so he goes on and he says, yes, and we have found false witnesses of God, if that's not true, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But we know better than that. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, Adam, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, all took on a sinful nature, and all had to face the penalty of sin apart from Christ. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. I love those expressions, made alive. Colossians used it. We've been made alive in Christ. People don't even realize we are the true walking dead in this world without Christ. You know, the famous series, Walking Dead, you know, I think it's still running, isn't it? People need to get a life, you know. But without Christ, there's just a lot of people running around, they're the walking dead. But in Christ, we have been made alive. A life that will exist for all eternity. You know, when you look at how God has mapped out our life, because God mapped out our life in all eternity, according to Ephesians 1, before we ever took our first breath, he had our life mapped out from beginning to end. And so we have a bright future. You know, we got so much waiting for us. As you look, you know, you look at the chronology of God's kingdom program. We're in the present kingdom age, and we know that this kingdom age will end with a tribulation. And we know at the middle of the tribulation, you know, the Antichrist is going to raise the power, and it's like, you know, he's going to do his thing. But we as Christians, you know, we're going through certain ages of God's kingdom program, because when Christ comes back, we're given our new glorified body. And when Christ comes back, we enter into the 1,000-year reign of Christ. I don't know how I got caught up in eschatology with this message, but we go through a 1,000-year reign with Christ. That's the promise to the church saints. We will reign with him for 1,000 years. But then it even gets better, because Revelation 21:22 talks about the eternal order, the new heavens, the new Jerusalem. And I'm thinking, buckle up, man. We got a beautiful future waiting for us. And Wayne, Pastor Wayne, he's going to get there a little earlier than most of us, all right? But many of us are just not that far behind. You know, I'm going to be 74, and it's like, you know, how many months do I got left? If I live past the age of American, 78, I think is the average age. Add that up. It doesn't come up to many months, right? But that doesn't matter to us. You know, we have eternal life. And the last time I looked, eternal life is a very long time. And that's what's out there. But let me keep reading. For verse 22 again. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom of God. Here is a reference to the millennial kingdom, because he's going to reign for 1,000 years. The kingdom of God, he delivers the kingdom of God to the Father when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. But these next two verses is really what I want to emphasize here. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. We don't have a day with death as defined by Christ, which I'm going to talk about in a little while. We don't have to face. Do you know what it is to wake up and know that we don't have to face death? I mean, we'll face physical death, and I'll talk about that in a second, but we don't have to really face the punishment of sin in the afterlife. We've been delivered from the penalty, the power, and in eternity, the presence of sin. And it's like, amen. And so, death is not the finality of a believer. It is the beginning of our existence in the presence of God. When Christ talked about the issue of dying concerning the believer, the emphasis of his words was not on the natural death of the body, but on the preservation of life after we have been released from this body. And this comes out clearly in John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 51. I tell you the truth, quoting Christ, I tell you the truth. If anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Surely, he wasn't talking about physical death. Jesus used the term, will not taste death, in Matthew 16, 28, Mark 9, 1, and Luke 9, 27, to capture the real meaning behind his promise. There was a